This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of Mark. If you remember, last week we introduced this gospel, and in many ways, you can think of Mark as being sort of the gospel of action, in that Mark gives us so many of the things that Jesus does, he doesn't stop right then and tell us why he does them. It leaves it up to us to decide, and we'll be looking at that more as we look at the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2 this morning. Now, I'd like for you to think with me a few minutes. If somebody were to ask you, what is your purpose? What's the purpose of your life? How would you respond to that? Have you ever thought about that? Do you have a purpose to your life? I think a lot of times we sort of just go along with the flow. We just sort of live our days day by day, and we may not even think about, does my life really have a direction? Or is it sort of like a river and just sort of flows down here and I just sort of go along and I just do what I have to do today and tomorrow I'll do what I have to do tomorrow. And I never ever think about, what purpose does my life have? Is my life really going anywhere? What's the significance of my life? I think you see as we study and take a look at Jesus that he offers us a real purpose and significance to our lives. And we need to think of that. So often we end up with our lives just doing or putting out the fires in our life or just doing the urgent. A few Wednesday nights ago in our Wednesday night study, we had a lesson on the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, we just do what's urgent. And we don't ever think about what we're really about as people. We just do those things that are pressing on us, those things that have to be done right now. And we just keep doing those things. And we don't think about, am I going anywhere? Or am I just sort of going along with the flow? Am I just doing what's expected of me? And so often we do that. We just do what's expected of us. And we don't really think about what should we really be about. Last Sunday night there was an illustration of this. I know this is a football illustration and sometimes people don't always like football illustrations. But the Colts were playing the Patriots. And if you keep track of pro football, these are two of the best pro teams over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. They both won Super Bowls in the last few years. And at the end of the game, the Patriots had been leading the whole game. And if you keep track of football, you know that in football you get 4 downs to go 10 yards. And if you get those 10 yards, you get another 4 downs. And at the end of the game, the team that's ahead, they have the ball, they're trying to run out the clock, not have to give the ball back to the other team. Well, at the end of this game, the Patriots had been leading the whole game. In fact, they had a pretty big lead through most of the game. But the Colts were coming back. In fact, Peyton Manning, the great quarterback of the Colts, had led them down the field twice in a row. Just wham, wham, wham. They just moved down the field. And so there's 2 minutes left, and the Patriots have the ball. And they don't want to give it back to Peyton Manning and give him another chance. And so they get to the 28-yard line, and it's fourth down. Now, what do? Well, the conventional wisdom is that you punt on fourth down. Fourth down, you punt. If you're close enough, you can kick a field goal, but if you're not, you punt. In fact, you might have heard the expression, when in doubt, punt. That's a football expression. It just simply means on fourth down, you punt the ball. Many of the sports writers have said if Belichick, the coach of the Patriots, had just kicked on fourth down, nobody would have thought a thing about it. That was the expected thing to do. That was going with the flow, doing what his peers would have had him to do. But Belichick, the coach of the Patriots, didn't kick. He went for it on fourth down. Now, if you kept track of the game, they didn't make it, and the Colts did win. So think about what happened in the press the next day. Oh, there were all kinds of writers about how Belichick had lost his mind, how this great coach was now a dunce, and how he made probably the dumbest decision ever in pro football. In fact, I've read 3 or 4 articles, and there was more even talking about it yesterday on TV at the halftime of some of the college games. But a few people sat back and thought about it. And they actually looked at the percentages of his play versus the percentages of giving the Colts back the ball. And if your purpose was simply to win the football game, then what Belichick did was right. If your purpose was to go with the flow and not make waves and do what was expected of you, then you would have kicked the ball. This morning I want you to think about, what do you do with your lives? Do you really think about it? Or are you too unwilling to wonder about what other people think of you? And are we so much in that mold of pleasing the people around us that we're not really willing to think about what is our purpose? Belichick was willing to take on the heat. His purpose was to win the football game. And if you actually go through and look at what he did, he gave his team the best chance of winning the football game. Didn't turn out that way, but that was his purpose. Now, I want you to think about today what your purpose is and what you're about. Let me give you a quote from Henry David Thoreau. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. And that's really what I want you to think about today is, who do you keep pace with in your life? Who calls the shots? What is your purpose in life? We call Jesus Christ our Lord. But often, we don't really go with His Lordship. We just go with the flow. We just go with what everybody else is doing. We go with what's expected of us, according to the society and the social norms which we live. And we don't really think about our purpose. Look with me now at Mark. And let's take a look at Jesus. Because here's one that knew His purpose, and He lived it. If you look over in Mark at the end of chapter 1, we have a couple quick illustrations before we get to the main part of the lesson. If you look up chapter 1, in verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Think about what He's saying here. He says, you're a fisherman. You have that purpose to catch fish. I'm going to give you a more lasting purpose. And truly, that's what Jesus says to each one of us. I will make your life really significant if you let me. If you look on down to verse 27, the people were so amazed and they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. And that really wraps up chapter 1 of Mark in many ways. Here's one that taught in a different way. This was one that wasn't just going with the flow of his day. He was a little different. Look over to now to chapter 1 and verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left his house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to a nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. How often do you pray? How do you pray? I've talked to people who say, well, I pray continuously. If I'm in my car and I get to stop at a stoplight, or I'll say a little short prayer. And I'll just work prayer right into my life all the time. I pray continuously. Is that what Jesus did? Actually, you see, that's not what Jesus did. A lot of times we say, well, I sort of work my life and I work prayer into my life. Jesus didn't do that, did he? He worked his life into prayer. Think about what it says here. It says, when it was still night, or some translation, when it was still dark, when everybody else was still asleep, what did Jesus do? It's still dark outside. The sun has not come up, and even that first little bit of light's not started yet. Jesus left. He got up. He didn't just stop right there. He could have gotten down on his knees right by his bed, but it says he went to a solitary place where he would not be disturbed to pray. Jesus did not work prayer into his life. He worked his life into prayer. And there's a difference in that. So often we just pray every so often, or when it's convenient. We pray before we go to bed at night when we're almost half asleep. Jesus got up, went to a solitary place where he wouldn't be disturbed, and he prayed. His life was based upon prayer and not the other way around. And that's the first example I want you to think about. Jesus doesn't go through the norm we go through. And so often we just kind of work prayer in as we get a chance, instead of the other way around. Starting our life off with prayer, and then we live. Instead of living and praying, we live and then we pray. We pray and then we live. Now look at the next part. Jesus was found by Simon. And Simon said, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. It's the urgent. How often do we do things because they're urgent? Because somebody says, you got to do this now. Well, this has got to be done now. And we get ruled in our lives by the little urgent fires that we've got to do this, and then we've got to do that. And that's where Simon was. He says, Jesus, we got to go over there and do this. The people are waiting on you. This is what's expected. And what does Jesus say? He says, no, I'm going to go over here and preach because that's why I have come. You see what Jesus is saying? He says, I've got a purpose in my life. I'm not going to allow these little things to dictate my life. I dictate my life. My purpose is to preach throughout the whole region of Galilee. I'm not going to get caught up here. Yes, there are great crowds here. These people expect me there. They've got people for me to heal. There's a whole day lined up for me here. And Jesus says, no, I'm going over here to preach today because I came to preach to the whole region. The big thing is that Jesus knew what he was about. And he wasn't going to allow the circumstances to dictate his life because he had a purpose. And he dictated that. He stayed on his purpose. We need to be careful in our lives that our lives don't get so tied up in the little urgent little things that we need to do that we forget what we're about as Christians. We forget what our real purpose is in our lives. In John chapter 7, it says Jesus' brothers came to him and said, Jesus, you're teaching up here in Galilee. You need to go down there to Jerusalem to teach. Here Simon says, Jesus, you need to come over here. The crowds are waiting for you. Jesus was willing and able to go against the flow. It was expected to do this. It was expected to do that. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to do this. He was going against the flow. He was thinking about, what is my real purpose here? Is it just to please the crowds? Is it to please my own family? Or to do the will of God? And Jesus shows down his life. He was willing to go against that flow because he thought about what he was about. And see, so often we don't stop to think. We just do. We just do what's expected of us. We just go with the flow. We do what our peers are doing. What's the social norm that we're caught up in? That's what we do. Instead of thinking about, what am I really about? Does my life, what drummer am I listening to in my life? Am I listening to my Lord, or am I just doing what everybody else does? Am I just going along? Am I just doing what makes me feel good today? Am I doing what my family expects me to do? Or am I doing what my Lord expects me to do? Now look over to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Once again, Jesus went beside the lake. Here the Sea of Galilee. And a large cloud was gathered, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While he was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus asked them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now think about the view we have here. Jesus is in a house. He's eating with what's called the sinners and the tax collectors. In other words, these are the outcasts of societies. And the Pharisees come up and they say, what's he doing? This is not what you're supposed to be doing. Have you ever thought about who sets our norms? We have social norms which we try to stay within. Sort of those things that we're expected to do. Ever think about who sets those norms? Well, it's usually our peers, those that we live around. It's what we see on TV. All these things kind of play together to we that this is what is expected of me. And they come to Jesus and say, Jesus and his disciples, you're not doing what's expected. You're over here, and you're supposed to be over here. We don't associate with these kind of people. These are tax collectors. These are the friends of the Romans. We don't have anything to do with them. And these other people, they're the sinners. These are not good people. You're not supposed to be hanging out with these. We've talked before when he talks about having a meal. That's the idea of fellowship. Jesus was having fellowship with those he wasn't supposed to have fellowship with. So what's his reply to them? Jesus gives a two-way reply. Listen to what he says. He says, those who are well, or those who are strong, they don't need a physician. But those who are weak do. Well, that's sort of like a little proverb. They couldn't take anything to that. But now look at the next reply. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now you think about what he's saying there. And I think it's something that kind of hits home to us, so we kind of read through this so quickly that we don't always think about what he's saying. Do we really see the need of Jesus in our lives? Now, if I was going to ask any one of you just one-on-one, oh, yes, why would you be here on Sunday morning? I need Jesus. But do our lives reflect that? And that's what I want you to think about today. Do you really live like you need Jesus? Any one of us would say we need Jesus, or we wouldn't be here on Sunday morning. But do we really live our lives like we need Jesus? Do we show that in the purpose of the things that we do, in the motives that we have, that we carry out? Do we show that we need Jesus by the way that we actually make our decisions during the day? We talk about hearing a different drummer. Keeping tune was what we might call walking by the Spirit. Do we really do that? Or do we do what we do, or go with the flow, or do what we want to do to please ourselves today, or what our families expect us to do? Do we really live like we need Jesus? And that's where he comes to us today. See, often we say that we do, but we don't really live like we do. And so you need to think about your life. What's the purpose of it? Look over to Isaiah 66. Listen what Isaiah says to us. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where is my resting place? Has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord? Isaiah starts this great chapter basically saying, God is God. He created the whole universe. What does he need? He's the Almighty. But now look at the next verse. This is the one I will esteem, or this is the one I will honor. Some translations, this is the one I will look to and give my favor to. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. In other words, the one that knows that they need Jesus. He who is humble in spirit. He who is contrite. That word simply means remorseful and willing to repent. And we looked the last couple of weeks at the power that we need to have in having a repentant heart, that we need to be willing to repent and turn to the Lord. And that's the idea here in Isaiah, that we're the type of people that are willing to listen to the Lord and not listen to the world. That we're humble. We don't think we have all the answers. We depend on our God. We need Jesus. And our lives declare that we need Jesus. And that's where we are today, to think about our purpose. In both these two sections, Jesus says, I know what I'm about. I came to preach. I came to heal sinners. He says both these times, this is why I've come. I have a purpose. Now think about your life. Where does it fit into that? Do you know that you need the Lord? And do your life reflect your need of Christ in your life? Look over to Mark chapter 10. There's a passage in Mark chapter 10 that often we kind of go over sort of for the wrong reasons. But look at Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And don't think that he's talking to children. He's talking to us in this passage. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now listen to verse 15. I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This passage is not talking to children. It's talking to us. And the attitudes that we have to come to the Lord. We have to realize that we need the Lord. A lot of times we think, you know, we live pretty good lives. And most of you in here, if you or somebody was to take a look at your life, would say, you live a good life. And we think about it. We live pretty good lives. And so often we get caught up in that and going with the flow of how we live, of our lives, that we forget our need for the Lord in our life. Jesus came not for the righteous, but for those who were needy, for those who were sinners, to those who were childlike in their dependence upon Him, those who have a humble and contrite spirit and Lord before their Lord. This morning, I'd like for you to think with me on two thoughts as we end this lesson on Mark. Do you really see Jesus giving your life purpose? What purpose does your life have? You see, if you're in the Lord, He says, I will make you fishers of men. I will give your life purpose. Does your life have purpose? It should if you're in the Lord. And the second idea, and it's like similar to it, do you really see the need of Jesus in your life? And a lot of times we say, oh, yes, I do. But your life, does it reflect that? Do you reflect that in your prayers? How do you pray? Do you just find times when you can pray? Or do you get up before the sun does and go to a solitary place where you won't be disturbed and spend time in prayer to your Lord? How do you think about it? Does my life reflect my need of the Lord, my purpose, who I listen to? Because if you're Christ, if you're in Christ, Christ should be your Lord. And He's the one that you should listen to. This morning, think about your purpose. If you're not in Christ, then you don't really have a purpose in Him. But you can. You can put Him on in baptism, washing away all your sins and all your past life, and arise to walk a new life in Him. Or if you've been in Christ, but your life really hasn't reflected the purpose that the Lord has laid out for you, then why not think about it today? Start spending real time in prayer and really put purpose back into your life by listening to your Lord and knowing your need for Him and walking as Christ walked and truly reflecting His purpose in your life. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? Together we stand and sing. Thank you.